and welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast, 1,000 Years of Beer. As always, we welcome you, my colleague Anton and me from the world's oldest brewery, Wein Stefan. And well, today we have a very special English-only episode. So this episode is only be recorded and broadcasted in English because we have an international guest. I would love to introduce in for that episode our guest, who is with us together right now in a Zoom meeting. So we're doing this online, and I hope the quality of the sound is good so far. But yeah, it was very important for us to bring him on the show. And hello, Ofer Hafkin. He is beer sommelier and some kind of brand ambassador for Wein Stefan beers in Israel. Hello, Ofer.
Hello, Ofer.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, hi guys. How are you doing? Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. It's I think it's the second time we actually meet. I think at the Importers Conference, I think we met the first time. And
yes.
So that's actually a big moment for me to get to know you a little better now in this podcast.
Yeah, and I'm happy to be here. And Anton, you need to join Matthias next time he comes to Israel, you know?
I'll talk to Marcus. I'm going to be happy about that.
Hey, I don't know what's the weather down up in Germany, but now I'm in down south in Israel. It's 27 degrees, so practically...
Yeah, it's not the same here.
So, good time for a wine, Stefan, for a Hefe.
Oh, definitely. Well, we're in the middle of bock beer season, actually, when we record this podcast. So so we're aiming for the Vitis and for the Corbinian right now. But cool. Yeah. So, Matthias, I suppose you have a little introduction for our guest now.
I already said Ufa. He is beer sommelier and also a beer ambassador or beer teacher for IBBL, which is the company that is importing Wein Stefan beers to Israel now for 20 years. Yep. And that's also the reason why we choose for that season to bring Ofer on the show, not just because Israel is one of our top exporting countries for Wein Stefan beers, but it's also this year we have anniversary of 20 years of Wein Stefan beers in Israel. Quite a long time.
Wow. Amazing. And actually, I must tell you, Wein Stefan, I remember the launching of it 20 years ago because I was a bar manager in Tel Aviv. And I always tell this story in the workshops that I do. You know, basically, when Wein Stefan was launched in Israel, we were one of the first taps in Israel. And to see people coming like pilgrims, you know, to taste this new beer, it was amazing. And, you know, it was basically love at first sight. That's Wein Stefan for the Israeli market. And you can see it, you know, we're pretty big.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, apparently, you know, people loved it down there because it's been around for 20 years and it's only gotten bigger. So, yeah, thanks to you guys, obviously. And it's been a long journey, but it's been a good one.
Yeah, for sure. And we are, you know, we have amazing partners and we're just enjoying the ride with you guys.
So what brought you to beer, Ofer? Was it the Horeca industry? So the thing that you was a bar manager and were in contact with beer at that part? Because from that on, you had also quite interesting journey into the beer business, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, I started, first of all, I love beer, you know. I was drinking beer, I think, was like the first alcoholic drink back when I was 15 or 16 and not allowed to drink. So beer was basically, you know, my go-to drink. And then after the army, I started working as a bartender, a barman, and really enjoyed it. And I did managing and restaurant managing course. And I started working in establishing restaurants and managing restaurants. And eventually, my passion was instructing. So I was an instructor in Israel's biggest bartending school. And my biggest passion was always beer and, tasting beer and enjoying beer and just drinking beer for fun. And so I did a lot of workshops around beer. Eventually CBC or IBBL, when they were establishing the Beer Academy, we hooked up and we started working together. And since then, I'm just enjoying the ride.
Quite an interesting ride, because IBBL not only has Weihenstephan, of course, there are other brands like Guinness, which is also one of the icons, global beer icons, and when it comes especially to this style of Irish stout, and I guess one of the most impactful and most famous brands, beer brands in the world. And so you, as the beer instructor of your company, the beer educator, you can work with two brands which are in their fields, very well known, I guess. And so you're teaching people about beer in any kind of way. Would you describe that role, what you're doing, as a day-by-day job or what's your role in that?
Basically, as far as beer education, we divide it into two. We have the in-house beer education, which is all the knowledge, beer knowledge, for the sales reps and everybody that deals within the company. And then we have the workshops for anybody who sells beers. Now, what we really, really want to implement in the Israeli market is the whole beer experience. When it comes to beer experience in Israel, it's back to basics, because people in Israel don't drink a lot of beer, don't drink a lot of alcohol. Let's say the beer consumption per year is about 14. You see what I'm saying? Per year,
yeah.
Which is a joke, I think Germany this year was like 98 or 96, and it's down. So, there's a lot of challenges when it comes, especially to the quality and the freshness of beer, because it's also a hot country. So I deal with educating the on-trade about everything from the keg system to the glass hygiene, and of course the connecting it to the different styles of businesses. Clubs are different, need different menus than restaurants or high-end restaurants or just a neighborhood bar. And especially my biggest passion is, the sales techniques that we teach. We don't teach only about beer, but how to sell beer. And it has an amazing effect in the field. And you can see the sales go up eventually, because you teach them, the basics, the sales basics, and implement the passion to beer and selling beer. And that's basically what we do as far as the workshops.
So basically, you two are brothers at heart, I'd say, because the parts of your job description, just it's basically the same thing Matthias did, right? Or still doing. I mean, that's teaching people about beer hygiene, about, how to handle beer, how to keep it fresh, and all that stuff about it. So I think you guys have a lot in common. I mean, I know now why you guys get along so well.
I know now. We could talk for hours,
Yeah.
Because we have so many things that we're basically teaching each other. And I think I was a guest at a seminar that Matthias organized, Marcus, with all the beer sommeliers. And the brainstorming there was amazing. We were just eating each other's brains and just seeing and seeing that the challenges are basically the same worldwide, and everybody's is dealing with the same stuff in different scales, the challenges are the same, and everybody wants people to just enjoy the beer even better. And when it comes down to it, and that's my goal, and I know that Matthias is implementing it wonderfully.
Yeah, that was a great seminar. We want to do it again, maybe in 1-2 years. We had from different countries, like, yeah, partners or beer educators and or sales and marketing people, like Rick Kempen from the Netherlands, which is a very famous beer journalist and beer ambassador in the Netherlands. Guys from the US, guys from Turkey, guys from Israel. Mm-hmm. So we were a really international group that came together to learn about sensory analysis, which we did together with the university, the course, but also telling about beer and also brainstorming, how to pair Weinsteffener beers with the food of different countries. And we learned a lot from each other, from the different flavors and combinations, different food in different countries does. Well, and it was a really great week we had together. Mm-hmm. And and also Ofa and me, we had also a few other I would say we are brothers in beer arms. We also did a beer dinner once in Israel. And other things planned for the future too. But yeah, you're right, Anton. We had a lot in common, not just in the job, also in the passion for beer.
And I guess both of us, we have both a big passion of beer and food pairing.
And I guess that's one of the aspects, not just in our job, but also in selling successful beer, is to try to transfer the personal passion that someone has for beer as a product to enjoy, but also maybe for the brands you're representing. Mm-hmm. And to transfer that to the people in a way that they believe that it's not just something you learned about a brand and you just retalk what you learned about it, that you really live that you're mm-hmm. you're part of that. And I guess that's the most important part on it.
I think any educator, if he puts his passion into it and his belief, and he believes in the product that he's teaching or educating about, that's a win-win situation. That's actually how that's how I see it. Mm-hmm.
Another thing, Ofer, you already said it, that Israeli people are actually not drinking so much alcohol. Mm-hmm. So how is the approach then to beer or to alcohol in general? So is it then more like, okay, is it a pricing that it's should not be too pricey, or more a quality thing that when the people are consuming maybe a beer, then that should be something very high valued or very high quality? How can we imagine that?
As far as the if I look at the evolution of the alcohol consumption in Israel, I think it's basically up till the 90s, there was no good alcohol in Israel. Mm-hmm. There were no importers of good alcohol. I mean, if you would go to a bar, you got the local vodka or the local gin, which was very far from a high quality drink. And the beers as well. We had a monopoly. We had only two styles of beers in Israel. We had a Gold Star, which is the local beer. And it's like a amber lager, like a Vienna lager, so-called. And we had a basic pale lager. That's it. We had nothing more. And then they started in the 90s to import Guinness and then some Belgian brands. And then eventually Weinsteffen was imported back in 2003. And the craft scene was starting to pick up. And now you can see that there's loads of brands. But the problem is that people in Israel go into trends too fast. They don't really drill down and start building a culture. I mean, what I love in Europe, anywhere in Europe, there's an alcohol culture. You don't drink in order to get, wasted. That's not the goal when you go out and have a drink. You have a drink in dinner because it's fun. It opens your appetite. It works great with the food. And it doesn't matter if it's wine, beer, an aperitivo or whatever. It just works great together. And in Israel, we're not there yet. That's why people still go out and enjoy an alcoholic drink for the alcohol. That's why the zero or the alcohol fry is not working in Israel. Because people don't understand. why should I drink alcohol-free beer? There's no alcohol in it. What's the catch? And I'm telling you, hey, the taste, you know, the taste of beer, it's refreshing. It doesn't get you wasted. You can enjoy it after, you know, a workout in the morning, and it's good. It replaces your soft drink, you know. But we're not there yet. So we are getting there. I really believe that the young people in Israel today are really into trying new things. And because we are really, really working on educating as far as beer and food pairing and enjoying beer in different atmospheres. And there's different styles of beers that you can really, really enjoy it. And I think we're moving forward. And I always say, once the Israeli ladies, the women, start drinking beer, because our biggest competitor, one of the biggest brands in Israel for, I think, 20 years, his PR was, beer is a manly drink, you see? And that's something that's crazy, you know, when it comes down to it. And what I love, what I think made Weinstephan such a success with the women in Israel is when you launched it, we launched it with the 150 milliliter glasses. You know those glasses that, those tasting glasses of the Hefe, which are so sweet. And I remember the ladies were like, wow, what's this sweet glass? Hey, I want to taste this. And they were tasting it. And there was, it's, you know, it's Hefe. So it's a little bit fruity, a little bit sweet than a regular pale lager. And they, that's, I think, also helped the women choose Weinstephan as a go-to beer. Which ladies that would not drink beer before, Weinstephan, they felt comfortable drinking it.
So you think a big success of Weinstephan in Israel was also a different approach of the brand, how it entered the market?
I think so, yes, because it was back then, it was very unique. You know, you actually gave it, the bar 360 degrees, sheet, you know, you took care of the bar from everywhere, from the keg system and the taps, of course, and the glassware and the tasting glasses, which were amazing. I really remember that. It was something that was very unique back then, and hey, it worked.
It was also the first wheat beer, right, in Israel?
Yeah, it was the first wheat beer in Israel. The first,
and I guess also the first hazy beer.
The first hazy beer, the first wheat beer, the first interesting taste and look of a beer, you know? So that was, and when it comes down to it, come on, guys, it's the best wheat beer there is, you know, when it comes down to it. We're not objective, okay? We're not objective.
No, we're not.
But still.
But it is.
I mean, it's not us, only us selling it, you know. Because I believe that it was, if there was a different and wheat beer, it wouldn't work. And today, I mean, each importer has at least one type of wheat beer in its portfolio, and still Weinstephan is the biggest brand. Because when it comes down to it, liquid on lips, it's just as good as it gets.
Mm. So basically, or more or less, a Weinstephan or beers in Israel is the Hefeweissbier and the Vitus. I guess that's the two big beers we have there. And actually, Weinstephan is known as a wheat beer brand there. So from time to time, I guess, for the one or the other, a beer garden kind of Oktoberfest, also the Festbier is coming as a lager, as a filtered lager, but I would say 90% is wheat beer, right?
90% is wheat beer. It's basically the best selling ale beer or top fermented beer in Israel by far. I mean, today Weinstephan, when I go into a business, you know, to build their beer menu. The first thing they ask me, okay, we want Weinstephan. And then what other beers do you have to offer me on tap? But Weinstephan, it's like the go-to beer. And it's a challenge because of the, you know that, a 30-liter keg in a warm weather, you have to get rid of, you have to finish the keg in 3 to 4 days. And it's sometimes a big, big challenge. And we tell the people, you know, hey, if you have Weinstephan, take in consideration that you would have to narrow down the variety of beers in order for you to just, you know, sell fresh beer.
And that's very important. I guess you're have challenges that maybe other countries does not have, especially maybe beer countries which have more culture or general knowledge on beer when it comes to taste, but also how to handle beer, I guess. Those challenges, because you say educating and creating a beer culture, very important for the Israel market. So I think that marketing is the same, or let's say your job as educator and a storyteller on beer and beer culture and creating beer culture is, I think, as important as doing the classic marketing, because you need to create, or you're creating their an own culture of beer culture in Israel. And so I guess that's a different challenge than it has maybe in other countries, also from the climate and from the infrastructure and whatever. So it's seen very, very different. I guess it's very hard to compare that what you have to other countries. But and I guess that challenge also gives you special opportunities. Because I recognized now, what was it? Three times I was in Israel. I hope more is coming. I know more is coming, so I'm pretty confident on that. So greetings to Marcus. Please take me with you.
And me, all right.
This gives you the opportunity, because what I have seen is that especially Weinstephaner beer is very, very known and popular at the younger people.
Yes.
So in other countries, maybe Weinstephan, as the world's oldest brewery, is more a drink for elderly people or for a different kind of generation. But in Israel, it's a drink for young, cool, trendy people, fashionistas in Tel Aviv, going out, influencers, and they're drinking wheat beer because it's the go-to drink if you're a hip and fashionable person or whatever. And I was there and I was like, that was completely new for me.
Yes, and you're very, very correct. I mean, that's basically the beer that the young people, the 18, 19 years old, that's the go-to beer. That's the actually first beer that they taste. I mean, usually you taste a pale lager, you know, or a Helles or a Pils. It's bitter and it's hard. But a wheat beer is classic, you know, when you think about it. And because there's a wide variety of beer brands and beer styles today in Israel, wheat beer is very, very, very big. I mean, you walked around the entree and you see bars and restaurants and everything. You see the young people having a hefe and enjoying it, or a vitos, you know, that they can, you know, get wasted very fast with it. And they're really, really, really enjoying it. And they're drinking it in masses, which is amazing, you know. That's why I'm very, very optimistic, because of exactly what you said, because the young people are into tasting new experiences. And I think the potential is amazing. I totally
agree. It's enormous. But also, I was with Marcus at Banana Beach Club in Tel Aviv, which was close to our hotel, which is a good customer of Weinstephan beers. And we're sitting there at the beach at one of the most wonderful and amazing beaches I've ever seen, you know, looking there at the Mediterranean Sea, looking out there, and then we were there and ordered Weinstephan beers at this beach bar, beach club in Tel Aviv, and we were actually the oldest people there. It's just young people hanging out there in their bathsuits, and you know, and I was like feeling really old and really ugly in that moment, because all these good-looking young people playing beach soccer or beach volleyball or whatever, or on this outdoor gyms, you know. And then after their workout, they came there and drank a wheat beer and had some snack, and then they went on doing something else. And I have never seen our product in such an environment. And and this really changed also my view on the brand and the product, because in other countries, let's say the United States, for an example, we are seen as the world's oldest brewery, a classic, a tradition, a institution. And in Israel, we are seen as something
hip,
progressive,
young,
modern, cool, trendy. So like the complete different than in other countries.
So when we just try and sum this up a little bit, because one question would have been like, what do you think like Israeli people most on about the brand? If we can sum this up a little bit, it's not only taste or it's not only appearance. It's the feeling. It's being cool. So it's the combination of all these things, right? It's not only one thing. You can't really pinpoint to one thing what it is that people like about the brand.
I think it's the story, the taste, the pairing with food. Spicy food and wheat beer. I mean, come on, guys.
Perfect.
It doesn't. You can't get any better than that, you know. And there's lots of spicy food.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
it just works great, you know. You've got the small dishes, which is very part of the Israeli culture or the Israeli kitchen. Lots of like a tapas experience and you know, Mediterranean experience when it comes down to it.
Absolutely.
And with a wheat beer, I mean, it just works amazing. Yeah. And it's and Israelis love to eat. So it's an easy sell when it comes down to it.
And what I also saw is that in Israel, there's more like small glasses, like 0.3 liters than 0.5. And it also changed my behavior a little bit. So more likely when I have the chance to drink a wheat beer, I now go much more like drinking a small, like an 0.3 one than an 0.5. Because I saw it there, and this habit in Israel, drinking more likely a small beer than a big beer, the beer comes fresher. It's more colder, which is big thing because of the climate and the temperatures there.
Yes.
It's very important that the beer is fresh and cold. Mm-hmm. But also with that, I opened up my Austrian Bavarian mind, going away from the pint more like to the smaller versions, but it works great. And you're so right. All this Mediterranean Israeli food combined with our beer is simply amazing.
What would you recommend? You mentioned tapas now just the other second. Is that your favorite, or is there another combination that you'd say that's the best food pairing you can get in Israel?
Food pairing with the Israeli kitchen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Weinstein, because it's of the sweetness and the wheat maltiness, it works great with the, I would say, as I said, spicy dishes, salads. In Israel, there's a lot of vegetables, fresh vegetables. It's very, very, in every meal, first of all, there's lots of vegetables, and it works great with the fresh veggies. Spicy food, as I said, eggplant, which is very, very in use in Israel and different. I think it's amazing with that. And as well with fish. Heifer with fish just works amazingly. And meat, you know, there's a lot of lamb and sheep and meat and beef. It works great with it. And also I like to implement with desserts. That's something that I'm really, really into it. Now in our visitor center, I do a tasting workshop with different type of desserts and sweets. I have an apple strudel with a Vitos, which works amazing.
Definitely. I can imagine.
And it just works, you know, and people are really, really enjoying it. And I think it's one of the most versatile beer styles when it comes to pairing food. It's just easy.
Last time I've been in Israel, we went to this guided tour on the Carmel Market, and which is a food market, Anton, and a food and spice market. Yeah, and this was just unbelievable, because when you now talk about maybe the meat you're serving there, that's something here in Europe, or in Northern Europe, in Central Europe, we barely can imagine that variant, or the big variance you have on just on one meat, just with the spices. And it's so intense and flavorful that it's something you really need to experience that on your own, that you can see that the wide variance you have on that. This is something which is, in my personal opinion, hard to describe. So for me, it was like this experience on a Carmel Market, tasting all this, and then there was this booth in the middle where or this shop where they had then beer on draft, and we get a wine Stefan, and then we tried to this. It was absolutely fantastic. And I guess also this is one of the key successes too, because at the beginning, I guess Wein Stefan was only in bars and restaurants, so in the Horeca. So I guess we started with retail in 2015, so just a few years ago, so that we built the brand and the excitement about Wein Stefan, the brand, on the restaurant or Horeca basis. So, and I guess that's the only way how to build sustainable and on a long-term a brand like Wein Stefan in a country like that. But you want to hear fun fact, Ofa?
Okay.
So I have no numbers on how many volume we're doing in Israel. I only know that Israel is in the top three export countries.
Yes.
But Israel is, for Wein Stefan, worldwide number one when it comes to Wein Stefan consumption per capita in a single country.
I know, it's amazing. I told me that last week, and I was like, wow, are you serious?
Oh, you already knew it. Okay.
Yeah, wow. That's, but I mean, it makes sense. As I told you, in any place, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, because in any place I go, the first thing is Wein Stefan. That is what I want. That is what I want on tap. And it's the craziest thing, it doesn't matter if it's a cafe, a small coffee house, and I tell them, you're not supposed to sell beer in kegs, you know? We'll sell it in bottles, good stuff, not in kegs, my friend. But you know, in every place, that's like in a falafel, you know, falafel booth, he wants Wein Stefan. I'm like, are you nuts? No. It's like, you don't have space for the system, you know?
I mean, if it works.
It works, but... Not on tap, my friend. It's a fast food falafel. Come on. But I'm saying, you know, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Yeah. And I think now that it's an off trade, I mean, I see it with friends of mine. You know, it's basically the go-to special beer that they go. If they don't buy the so-called regular beers, Carlsberg, Heineken, whatever, Tuborg, then Wein Stefan would be the first choice. And it's not that the price of Wein Stefan on the off trade is low. It's not. But the quality. And you know, if you want to show off your friends, hey, I'm spawning you with the good stuff, with the premium brand, not just, you know, I don't know, a local beer, then hey, I brought you Wein Stefan. And basically it makes sense what you said. The fun fact, totally fun.
So, but the distribution is actually pretty good all over Israel. So, especially I would say Tel Aviv and Haifa, there are the focused regions where the most of Wein Stefan sales is going on. But I guess we're available all over Israel, right?
I think now it's basically all over. I think, I mean, the biggest cities, beer cities in Israel, Tel Aviv, obviously, but Tel Aviv has everything of everything, you know, and beer cities are, you know, where students are.
Of course.
You know, students, young people, and people who don't have a lot of money in their pockets, they can't waste, you know, 10 euros on a cocktail, but they can... put the 8 or 7, 6 or 7 euros on a beer and enjoy themselves. But not only that. I'm kidding, but basically all over, especially Weinstephan. It's all over. I mean, Beersheba down south, Jerusalem, of course, amazing beer city, loads of Weinstephan customers and bars, basically in every bar. And as I told you, I mean, in the basic, and that's something that Weinstephan really, really influenced the taps in the outlets. I mean, now the basic three beer styles in Israel is a pale lager, an amber lager, because that's the local beer, and wheat beer. That's like the basic. On top, then you could put a craft beer or an IPA or any different styles, or a Belgian beer. But the first beers are pale lager, and I would say not even an amber lager. Now second place is wheat beer, and third place is amber lager. And also in sales, I mean, I ask the bar managers when I go into the businesses, what's the best-selling beer on tap? It's usually, if Weinstephan is not number one, it's number two. All over Israel. And it doesn't matter if it's a restaurant or a bar or a neighborhood bar, it really doesn't matter. It's always in the top two, if not the top.
Actually pretty funny, because that's basically the same in Bavaria. The best two selling beers is the pale lager and the wheat beer. Okay, if now someone who listened to this podcast, hopefully a lot of people, and is traveling to Israel, what's your top three recommendations to visit as a bar, restaurant, or place to have a great experience and to consume a good Weinstephaner beer?
Well, basically, any place you can go and enjoy a Weinstephan, because as we said, it's spread all over. I would go just a specific bar. I'll be honest with you, I don't like to talk about specific bars, because there's lots of, you know, bars that will tell me, hey, why did you say my name? But there's loads of, but really, I mean, when it comes to Weinstephan, it's easy, because it's widespread. And as I said, you can find it in high-end restaurants and fast food restaurants as well. And that's the amazing and the wonderful thing about Weinstephan. I would say, the most loved international beer brand in Israel, and most prestige beer brand in Israel when it comes down to it.
What I would say is, definitely people should go to the beach.
Oh, yes.
Beach bars. Doesn't matter which one. They are all great, especially the scenery and the whole surrounding. Because this is something you don't see so much in other countries. This is cool. And also, I forgot about the street name, but this was this one street in Tel Aviv where, like, just only bars and only people going out there. And this was seriously one bar after another where I can get beer and food, and one was better than the other.
I mean, today, even after COVID, it's amazing. I mean, the beer scene, the bar scene, in especially in Tel Aviv, but not only, is so wide. I mean, basically now it's three, four strips that are exactly as you described.
Yeah.
And it just the fun thing in Tel Aviv is just do bar hopping, you know, just go from one place to the next place.
Actually,
to the next
what
place.
We did the last time.
Exactly. And it's so much fun, you know, have a snack here, a small dish here with a beer, and then move on to the next one, and next one, and next one. It's everything is so close. And the variety of flavors and tastes is unheard of. I mean, I travel around the world. I don't see a lot of places like that you can get so many different food and tastes in such a small area as you can find in Tel Aviv. And as I said, good beers are everywhere. Weinstephan is everywhere. So the combination is just wonderful.
Absolutely. And I can recommend to everyone to visit, especially Tel Aviv, and enjoy the time there and maybe some good Weinstephan beers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And we make sure to be there very soon. offer with you.
I'm opening my Darren. We'll close it.
I've never been, so you guys have to show me around. I think that's
don't worry. That's on me. That's
okay.
On me.
Okay.
That's the easy part.
And come back to Weihenstephan soon, over.
Yeah.
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. Hopefully in September. Hopefully.
There's this small beer fest here in Freising where we can have a beer.
So thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time. We know you're very busy. So it's a great honor to have you on the podcast. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. It was a big honor for me as well. And Matthias, missing you. So hope to see you soon.
Miss you too, man.
Great to meet you finally.
All right. And to all you guys out there, thank you so much for listening in. Thank you for sticking around for 4 seasons now. And I hope there's more to come. So we'll hear from you next time. See you around. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.